All right, well, I'm gonna hit a couple areas today. I was going to hit three, but there would have been no way I could have finished it, so I decided I was going to hit two areas. One on some of the strife and stuff that's going on here recently, and I think I'm going to hit what makes up the body, the soul, and the spirit. It's been a while since we had done that, so just a quick prayer. Anybody got any concerns? Comments? Go ahead, Jim.
One of the ladies at work, her father had his daughter-in-law with him in the house, and she was just found out she had COVID. And I told her we prayed for her dad and that he was going to be safe and everything would be fine. But, so that is, and for her sister-in-law too, that she'd come through this thing and be just fine. Most people get through it pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're still Ricky and Alma and
all the whole family had it.
And yours as well?
Her youngest.
My sister. She's a nursing home nurse. She's a nurse at the nursing home, and she caught it a day or two ago.
They're gonna give her at least 7 days to go home and.
Yep.
And my cousin in he has a church, and a lot of their members got one of my cousins, like, five. Two are in hospital.
Well, let's hope they all get through that okay. Mm-hmm. All right, quick prayer. God, we love you, and we just want to thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your mercy and your blessing that you pour on us. We thank you most for that precious grace that has allowed us to be saved by only believing and trusting in what you did, Jesus, at that cross for our sins, your burial and your resurrection on the third day, justifying us and making us just as righteous as you are. And now the Father looks down, sees us. All he sees is his Son who cannot sin. That's a pretty good deal. Lord, we'd like to also pray for all those that particularly have come down with COVID, that you'd be with them and that you give them comfort and healing. And for me, if any of them don't know what the gospel is, be saying that put somebody in front of them that knows that gospel, that they might share that with those individuals as well. Just ask that you'd anoint the message and that it would bring a new tool to the spiritual toolbox, or in some cases, maybe even somebody that hasn't heard the gospel yet. We love you and thank you. It's in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, anybody watching TV and experiencing stuff out there and wondering what the heck is going on? Anybody concerned at all? I'm concerned to a point. It is nice knowing that, being saved, if something was to happen, I know exactly where I'm going, and I hope that's the case with everybody else. But it's still a concern to see all that is going on. So I'd like to start in 2 Timothy 3. We're going to do 1 through 5. I know I kind of did something similar to this a couple months ago, but it just seemed like a good thing to hit again. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 5. Alright. This is Paul writing this, so this is in particular to us during this dispensation. This know also that in the last days, he's referring to the last days of the grace period that we're in, last days, perilous times shall come. For men, and just think about when I'm naming these off, how many of these you see today going on, shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, I'm in that category. Anybody else? Oh, that's slightly funny. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Well, I hope I don't fall in that category again. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Whew, that's quite a list. I see all those things happening and in action right now. Mm-hmm. Even in a lot of the churches.
Especially the five, you see that in the churches all over the place.
The five? Oh, yeah.
Five, having a form of godliness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Let's go to Revelation 13. I'm going to start in verse 14 through 17. Yeah, I know we're not in the tribulation, but to get from where we're at now to where it's going to be at that point, there's going to be a gradual upturn of some of these events. Though prophecy won't be in action until the tribulation starts. But if you have an idea where it's going, you'll understand why things are happening the way they're happening. Revelation 13, verses 14 through 17. And this is the false prophet's job resume. This is in the tribulation, and it becomes mandatory about 3.5 years in. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, that's the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So it's not even worshiping the beast, it's worshiping an image that they've created. And if you don't do that, guess what happens? Kill. Well, that will not be a good time to be here on earth. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. Did they leave anybody out? No, that's pretty much everybody that's going to be here. To receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Perhaps a database. Perhaps all the money is gone and you're working with plastic or a chip that's in your hand or your forehead. I think that's probably very probable. Yeah. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That's pretty inclusive of everything. I mean, if you had a family, you had to feed them. How long are you going to last? That's why it's good to get saved now. I'm going to call this section A Nation Divided Cannot Stand. I'm going to go over to Mark 3. This is actually covered in three of the books. Mark 3, I started verse 8. Quite a bunch today. This is concerning, you know, all the stuff that's going on, you know, protests, the monuments being tore down, the just general disregard for civilization, at least here in America. I think it's spreading out to other countries as well. You know, we got COVID going on the whole bit. Starting in 8, it says, and this is wrote to Israel, but this is, I'm going to call it cross-dispensational. I think Byron likes to use trans-dispensational. We're going to try cross-dispensational. And from Jerusalem and from Idumea, anybody know how to pronounce that better than that? Because that sounds pretty dumb.
Idumea.
I appreciate that. And from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he, that being Jesus, the earthly Jesus, did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him to touch him as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. Let's go down to 22, sake of time. And the scribes, all those lovely scribes and Pharisees, came down from Jerusalem and said, he has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils cast he out devils. Well, Jesus had a response. He said, and he called them unto him, and he said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? These are the verses I kind of wanted to dwell on. And if a kingdom or a nation divided against itself, if a kingdom be divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house or a home be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. The point trying to make there, the country can't be against itself for too long. I mean, we fought a civil war once. Okay, one more negative and then we'll move on to the positives. You don't want to just leave it in Negativeville, right? 1 Peter 5 and 8, very familiar verse. And he's writing this to the scattered little flock. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Joe probably can quote this by heart. Can't you?
I can find it first.
Okay. So be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, you're sealed. I don't care if Satan comes against you, he can't do anything to you. But if you got family, you got friends, you got other people that you deal with that aren't saved, well, guess what? He's going to use them. All right, let's go over to Ephesians 2, 2 and 2:3. We're almost to the positive thing. I'm trying to lay the case that these, some of these things were expected to see us as things get towards the end. We were all put in this this time frame for a reason. We have a spoke of people below us that we can share the gospel with. Maybe reassure some people that are scared or whatnot. Ephesians 2:2, 2:3, very familiar verses for us. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, that was you and me, according to the prince of the power of the air. Yeah, he lives up there in the air, most likely up in the second heaven. He's got a lot of people that work for him in the first heaven and down here on earth. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others would add are. So if they're not saved, they're where we used to be. Isn't that kind of what we're seeing out there anyways? Is this kind of stuff going on? We just need to get them saved. The Holy Spirit needs to get on the stick and start convicting these people. Have them run by Dave's house so they can hear the gospel. Ephesians 6, verse 12. A couple pages to the right. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's about up in the second heaven. That's where Satan's at. You can see that's the rank structure of evil. How's Tina doing?
Very good, thank you.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Better see you. Ephesians 6, we're going to bounce back and hit a few of the other verses. So what are we supposed to do about this when evil starts rearing its head? Are we just supposed to sit there and hang in there and do nothing? Well, Ephesians gives us some clues about the armor of God. So let's start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, I say this quite often, but Paul always writes to believers. It'll help you understand when you're reading it, when you understand he's writing to believers. He's not writing to the person who picks up the book and is an unbeliever. They can't understand it. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we own that. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We own that. I'm telling you, you own it. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, trickery, debauchery of the devil and all the people that work for him. Skip down to 13 since we read 12 already. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now he's writing these to people before the tribulation. So there's going to be an evil day before the tribulation happens. Now, it's not going to be as bad as tribulation. It's not going to be that wrath. But he's saying here there's going to be an evil day, and obviously we need to know how to wear the armor of God. Wouldn't you agree with that, Jim?
Yes.
All right. Because if you said no, I didn't know what I was going to say. And having done all to stand, of course, this is before the tribulation, as I said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now you're saved. He can't come and do anything to you. Like I said, friends and family and other areas, they're going to attack you from afar, and they're going to have your family and your friends come, and they're going to start saying and doing things. And some of those things hurt. We know we have family members that aren't saved or friends that aren't saved, and we're close to them. Can't just disown them. I mean, they're family, right? You can move away from them, but we still love them.
I had that with a brother-in-law on Facebook who's like so judgmental, extremely liberal, just amazing. I just kind of pretty much like to court him, I guess, you know, just to get him going again. But the reality is, yeah, they're family. You can't shoot them. You can't get rid of them. Yeah, you gotta be nice.
You gotta be nice.
Well, here's the good news. It's not a matter of if you have them in your family. We all have them.
Right.
It's just how many we got.
He lives in Washington State, so.
Oh, that's a good drive.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, phone's not working. 19. And for me, that utterance, this is Paul, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It's the only thing that saves today. The gospel of grace of God, it's the only thing that saves today. Holy Spirit, convict them and send them my way. So they're ready to hear it. And even if they're not ready to hear it, I'll tell them twice and tell them to get the heck out of it. Right? Isn't it twice? Three times. Well, it depends how close they are. Sometimes we'll work on them for a while. 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, because he was in bonds, he was in prison at the time in Rome, that herein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And a similar verse is over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. Most of us are very familiar with that. Now, before I get to some of these other ones here, I'm going to go to John 9 and 31, because this is important. There's a lot of people out there praying. Here's the problem. If you're not saved, your prayer falls on deaf ears. The only prayer that God wants to hear is, I believe what your son already did for me, what he paid for, my sins, his burial, and his resurrection on the third day. That's what he wants to hear. And once you've done that, guess what? It's open. You can share and talk to him 24/7. And he willingly brings it in. John 9, 31. This is cross-dispensational. I already be trans-dispensational. Now, you probably heard me in the bathroom, didn't you? Now, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, what's his will today? Trusting the gospel of the grace of God? Yes. Him he heareth. So if you want to be heard by God, trust what he has to say will save you. It's the gospel. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians 5. We start at verse 17. Again, these are some things that you can do when you start feeling a little uneasy. Maybe you don't feel the peace. Maybe you want to go visit somebody and get them over the side of the head. That'd be wrong, honey.
Yes, it would be.
That's right. I didn't address anybody else.
It's a good answer.
1 Thessalonians 5:17, 18, and 21. Pray without ceasing. Talk to God. It doesn't mean you close your eyes and drive to work. I wouldn't recommend that. Just talk to Him. He's always available. Prayer doesn't mean you have to put your hands together and keep your eyes closed and say, you just talk to Him. Just like you talk to anybody else. That's all He wants. In everything, give thanks. If He does something, or if He hears you and something good happens, thank Him. I know there's a lot of times I forget to do that. And thank Him later. For this is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you. So if you want to know what the will of God is, it just said it right there. That's one of the things that God wants you to do. You don't have to do it. But here's His will. He says you should do it. People always go, what's the will of God? Well, that's right. There's one of them right there. Pretty easy to find. Verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. There's a lot of things out there that are not good that we hold on to that maybe we should let go of. I bet we could get rid of 50% of the stuff in our house and not miss it. It's most of your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Probably mine.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that much anymore.
Well, she's got more shoes than I do.
That's about the only thing I got more on.
You got more record albums than I got. That's two.
How about shirts, pants?
Probably.
Okay.
It's close.
Yeah.
She's better at throwing away the old stuff. I gotta give her kudos in that here. All right, let's go over to 1 Timothy 2:1-3. This is a nice prayer here because it gives you an instant positive after you do it. I mean, when you think about it, when you pray, don't you want a quick answer back? Well, this is an example of one of those. It says, 1 Timothy 2, we're going to do 1-3. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for only the people I like. No? Only the people I love?
It says for all men, but not women.
Only good people?
Careful now.
No, it says all men. That means everybody on the planet. Yes. I do quantify that when I'm talking to God, and I say, there's a few of them I don't like much, God, but I'm praying for them. I think He understands. For kings and for all that are in authority, that includes presidents underneath the Constitution, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. See that promise there? That simple prayer says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And we just have to pray for people, thank them around the globe. Pray for our leaders, even if we don't like them. And He says we can get a little peace in our godliness and us. That's a pretty good deal. Hey, go ahead, Jim.
Scott, I was enjoying this verse you just read. He will have all men to be saved. Some men, some people work. No, He didn't save me. I can't be saved. But this, that, and the other. That's a wonderful verse to take into.
Yeah.
Who did He leave out? He didn't leave anybody out.
I was going to read 3. Is that still okay? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Anybody know who that is? That's Jesus. God our Savior. That's Jesus. People say, well, Jesus isn't God. He's just some guy that came down here that works for God. No, He's God too. They're all God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And probably, bless you, my favorite verses in Philippians 4:6-9. When you need to pray, and you don't know what to pray, besides you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you out in that area. This is about the best way to pray in the dispensation of grace to God. Philippians 4, we start at 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You don't have to come at it, you know, oh God, if I've been good or if I've not been good. No. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if you're a believer, he's going to hear you out. It's going to be yes. It's going to be no. It's going to be maybe a little later. But he'll hear you. I guarantee you he will hear you. Go ahead, Dan.
This week I had a problem with one of my incredibly talented team. And on Monday, they messed up something big. All night Monday, I couldn't sleep. I was so angry. I tried to figure out a reason for it. So Irma says, why don't you pray about it? And I said, don't tell me how to run my team.
Yeah. In the middle of the night, I said, you need to pray about this and let it go and get some rest. You're like, don't make sure I'm like, okay, fine. I turned over and went to sleep.
But it all worked out.
Did it change in 3 days?
Oh, yeah. It changed in 3 days. So,
it did. The three-day rule?
I was just steaming. It was so stupid thing they did.
That's all right. You're not the only one. Mentally, at least me, it's the last option. You go in there, I'm going to fix it first. And it should be the first thing I'm doing. Okay,
yeah. Thank you for helping me fix that. By the morning, you had the answer. We solved it.
I did my one getting angry this year, right? That was your one time?
Well, he actually played off the client's ego. This guy's got a huge ego.
Yeah.
And he was filming this part, this documentary, filming some stuff on Monday. My guy's messed up with the audio, so it was terrible. Could use it. So we said to him, listen, yesterday you were a little rough. Today you're much better. About halfway through the next day, we need to redo Monday so it all matches up. Great idea. Because he wanted to speak up. So we got to cut that.
Well, you brought some passion to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
All right, verse 7. And the peace of God. What does everybody want today? Doesn't everybody want peace?
Oh, yeah.
With all the chaos that's going on, wouldn't we like a little peace? Well, it says, this is the one thing that this thing promises when you pray this way, is peace. Now, the other things are out there. I'm not saying he can't heal you if he wants to heal you. You know, like I said, there's yes, there's no, there's maybe a little later, you know, on God's timetable, but he does promise peace right here. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you want some peace, give it to him. And don't reel it back and say, I'll take care of it again.
Okay.
Give it to him.
And it's not just simple peace, it's peace that passes all understanding. Yeah. So much peace that you can't even wrap your mind around.
Well, I didn't come up with this. Some friends of ours used to say, it's like being in the middle of a hurricane. Everybody else, the winds are blowing and storms are happening, and they're in the eye of the storm. And they can't figure out why. That's peace. Mm-hmm. When all of the craziness is gone. Sometimes it's hard to do. And he says, now once you've given it away, and once you've given it to God, and once he's given you peace, he says, here's some tricks to help you stay in that peace, and it's in verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, and I want you to dwell on this negative stuff. You've given it to me. He says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if they be any virtue, and if they be any praise, think on these things. He didn't say, well, kind of think on some of the bad stuff you can make. No. Think about the great things. We all got some good things. Instead of dwelling on something that we can't fix, and we've given it away, we've gotten the peace, let's dwell on some positive things. Because we've got a lot of things to be thankful for. And since somebody always asks to finish up 9, I'm going to do 9. I knew you were there, Jim. You're about ready to say, well, how about 9?
How about 9?
There you go. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's see. There's no way I'm going to be able to finish this. So I'm going to do kind of... Yes? Oh, go ahead.
Comment, yeah. This is part of the basic problem-solving technique. You want peace, you got a problem? What's the first thing? You have to identify the problem. Who causes all our problems? Satan. You know it's him. You got it solved. Every time I try to read the Bible, work on a Bible study, on the way to church, something happens, I get mad. Wait a minute, I know who it is. Boom, that takes care of it. You got to identify the problem, and then Ephesians 6, put on the armor, man, it goes away.
Yep.
You got to know who's doing it to you. Yep. Say, it's you, get behind me. And hey, leave you alone.
It's,
identify it.
It's Satan and the guys that work for him.
Yeah. Bad news, man.
Yeah. You know, they already lost out because we got saved. They tried their best.
Yep.
Then we got the right Bible to study. They lost on that account, so they're going to try and hit us in some other areas.
It's him.
We just know it's him.
Yeah.
And go forth anyways.
Take care of
it. I rarely get together with this many believers. Maybe on a conference, you know, we'll have more, but this is as many believers that I've ever hung out with. And we've been in churches that had thousands and thousands of people. That's a good thing. Well, there's no way I'm going to cover this, but I wanted to hit a little bit of this. We're three-part beings. Does everybody know that? I mean, some folks haven't heard it. Have you seen this? I already kind of covered something like this, what, a year ago, 2 years ago? Spirit right there. Soul right there. We'll put the body right there. Everybody's seen it, but maybe you haven't seen this. Oh, you've seen this before? So, we're basically a three-part being. Body, of course, you get to see it here. We got five senses that are working on that. We've got a soul, which is your mind, your will, emotions, and some people will put their personality down there as well. And you got the spirit in there. Now, when God made Adam, he was already hooked to the Holy Spirit. You know, in the afternoon, in the cool of the afternoon, you got to go into Genesis 3 to get there, but both him and Eve used to walk in the cool of the afternoon with the Lord. That's a pretty good deal. Has anybody else walked with the Lord in the afternoon? No. Because we walk by faith.
I live with an angel.
So anyways, so he had the Holy Spirit, but then we roll into Genesis 3, and who was that one that tempted Adam partaking something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, Satan tempted Eve, but
that woman.
So at that point, spirit was effectively dead. We inherited that spirit. It comes all the way from Adam. We didn't do that. That was Adam that did that. That's why in Romans 3:23, all have fallen short. All. We're born that way. There's not one thing you can do down here to get into heaven. Oh, I suppose if you were born perfect and you lived a perfect life, but here's the deal. You got Adam's blood in your body. So you're already born as a sinner. You got no choice. We get a little bit of that in was it Romans 5:12? Pop that over there. I got a lot of verses out of Genesis, but just not going to have the time. So Romans.
I'll take care of the Genesis.
I appreciate it. Oh, you're going to do that today? That's interesting. Whereas Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Well, who was that man?
Adam.
I thought it was Eve that messed up first. Why isn't it Eve? Maybe because Eve came out of Adam?
Yeah.
He was in charge.
The woo man came out of Adam.
It was with him.
That's right. Not only that, but God had told him what the rules were. He had shared the rules with Eve, and Eve did the best she could. I just think she was a perfect woman, and let's face it, they're running around naked that place. I mean, I probably would have ate whatever it was, too. So. She was perfect. Honey, if you gave me something to eat, I'd probably eat it.
Nice save.
But you gotta run around naked.
See, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we didn't have a choice. Now, he gave Israel a way to kind of get there, but he never gave them a way to get rid of their sin. Kind of was a cover it up, put it underneath the carpet. But it really didn't take care of the sin problem. So they did some sacrifices to take care of that as well. But this was still that, because as we all know in this room, the Israel of old, the little flock, none of those folks are going to have their sins removed until they get into the times of refreshing. And at the times of refreshing, you know, it'll either do this. You know, it's kind of weird because let's face it, some of those people are going to be resurrected into the refreshing time, and then there's going to be some regular people that walk out of the tribulation, and they're saved, but they're fleshly, and then they're going to have kids, and their kids are going to have kids, and they're going to live till the end for the most part. There'll be some accidents and stuff like that. And those people will have to be judged. So in their case, it's like that. But once we get saved,
we'll be in grace.
Our spirit gets hooked directly to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So not only are we getting the external five senses that are coming in, we are getting directly through the Spirit. And we read this stuff quite often. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 2. Gosh, we start a lot of places. I've got a few minutes. Let's start in 9. Now, that'll probably end it for us. This is kind of a nice verse to go to when you're trying to, you know, what is heaven going to be like? What's heaven going to be? It says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What? I don't even think we can imagine how good it's going to be. Dave's going to have pizza. Carb-free, calorie-free.
There's a bunch of courses.
I don't know. I see Dave as one of the cherubs on the cloud playing the harp.
It was on
Star Trek last night. It was kind of got a kind of funny instrument. I thought, pizza! That's what I thought. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, into our spirit, and it flows into our being. So when we read this book now, it makes sense. Because before, when it was like this, did you ever try and pick up the Bible and learn it? I mean, there were some areas that were good stories. I had up and down. I actually thought I was saved, and some days I thought I wasn't saved. Then I really thought I was saved, and then I found out I wasn't saved at all. Right on. But once we got that, now the Holy Spirit's hooked up to us. He helps feed us, so when we read these things, these verses start to make more sense. I'm not saying you can read this in one sitting and get it all, because a lot of times you'll have to read it over and over and over, and wow, I've read that thing 20 or 30 times. I never saw that before.
That's interesting, too.
Yeah.
This week, Irma found her, she had her phone app that actually reads the Bible to you. Okay? This English guy reads it. And for him to read
it. I read the thing. What are you talking about?
You're
talking about English guy.
Yeah, English
not
guy.
English.
Not like your brother.
I'd like Tony to read
it. He's reading it as if Paul was reading you this letter.
Yeah.
And, you pick up things.
Yeah.
Hearing it that way, that actually intrigued me. It was fascinating. Yeah. I was just enjoying it.
Some people have the ability to read and pick up information. Some people, it's like a photograph first. Other people have the ability, it's a smaller number, to hear things and retain it. You know, we're all a little bit different on which one works best for us.
Some of us can't retain anything. So.
You know, so when I go to a meeting, it's like this. I can't remember anything you said because I don't like you.
Yeah.
I'll pray for you, though. I'm just kidding. That was a little humor. All right, back to 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man? So a man can know his own spirit, is what he's trying to get at there. Spirit of a man, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit, capital S, of God. And that's how he knows us. He now knows us through the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, he's God too. Just like Jesus is God and the Father's God, they're all God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might freely or might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, or scriptural things with scriptural. This book's spiritual, right? We know about the natural man doesn't receive that.
We're going to leave that right there.
Does anybody have any questions? This is kind of the quick, I had a lot of verses to cover to substantiate that, but go ahead.
Nor does the religious man understand that. Right.
Because he's not saying.
Because he's a natural man.
Yep.
He's not saying. But the biggest thing I want to get out there to everybody, it is so easy to be saved today. You don't even have to change anything about yourself. You can still be that mean old tyrant, whatever. All you got to do is trust what Christ did for you. It's a lot easier. You don't have to go out and buy it. You don't have to go out and do it. Besides, you can't do it anyways. That Jesus Christ already 2,000 years ago came into this world and already died for our sins. He was buried, he was resurrected on the third day. And once we trust that gospel, that resurrection actually justified us. So not only did it take away our sin problem, it made our sins as if they never happened. And then he says, if that ain't good enough, I'm going to make you righteous on top of it. Whoa! And there's more, and there is certainly more on that. He makes us just as righteous as Jesus Christ. And the Father, he looks down today and he sees each one of us and says, all I see is my Son, who cannot sin, who's absolutely perfect, absolutely righteous, and I've already got a spot for him. And all the blessings are waiting right now at the right hand where he's sitting. Everybody.
That's the running piece of it.
Who knows? I didn't do anything. I didn't have to change who I was. But I will tell you, after a while, you're going to change. You become appreciative for something that you tried to work for, you tried to go to religion for, you tried to do all these other things to get in there, with the exception of Dave. Dave got lucky. Well, it's for a reason. You get to see a lot more people and share that truth. But the gospel is so simple today. Don't try and mix it with Israel's program. It's just easy, easy, easy. And as a guy in this room might say in Colossians 2 and 10,
oh, we're complete in him.
Amen. And on that note, thank you.
Take a break. Service is 7 o'clock.